our teaching tonight, we're going back over to the life of Christ, or we could say the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. Last week, we spent our time really looking at Jesus. We started off because, you know, he was God and he was a man, but we're looking at it because we want to see him, and because we're going to look at his ministry when he's on the earth, we're going to look at him here as being Messiah. The Messiah was a man. And he operated here as a man, and you need to understand how important that is. Most of Christianity, I found out over the years, just listening to people teach, that the church doesn't really understand the importance of what God did in having a man come. A man had to come. He had to be a man. It was a requirement that a man delivers. There was a man. Sin entered the earth through man, and sin had to be dealt with by a man. And so God had a plan. And as we go through, we're going to find this out. The difference too, I've talked about this before in times in teaching, but we need to understand the difference between a man and a woman. There has to be, we have in our culture, we try to make everybody the same, but biblically it is not. And we need to understand that God set in motion when he created man in the earth. He created the man. He did not create the woman like he created the man. He took woman out of the man and was made a different being, really, from the standpoint. And its purpose, the reason it was for this. If God was going to bring his son into the world, he could not bring him in through another man. Couldn't do it. Because in man is the seed of sin. Is in man. That's the seed of sin is passed on by seed. We need to understand. This is why it's so important. The Word of God teaches us that the Word is a seed. And you plant it. Well, see, everything in the earth's like that. It comes from seeds. You know, we plant things, they grow up, and they produce in their kind. The Bible teaches us that. Everything produces after its kind. Mankind, after the fall, all humans born after that could only produce the same thing. And that's the fallen nature. That's all could be because of the seed. It was passed on by man. If women could pass on the seed, there was no way to bring the Messiah. There couldn't be. There had to be a difference between the two. And you need to understand this. There's a difference in authority. People don't get this. You don't follow the Word. We don't understand. This is why, you know, the Bible, we find out, and here's the thing you have to learn about God. God follows authority. He follows the chain of authority. God never usurps authority. We're going to find out with this as we go along and teach. Think about this. You know, in the beginning, and we'll talk about this some in our teaching here, start out, God comes along and reveals to Mary about the birth. But once she marries, he doesn't talk to her anymore. He talks to Joseph. Why? Joseph's in charge. See, we don't have that in our thing. We have American Christianity. You know, I've sat in listed teaching, you know, from spirit-filled people and everything. They have marriage seminars. And they always talk about this 50-50 thing. I'm sorry, it ain't that way. It ain't 50. That's why, you know, you want to find out who you're going to marry. Amen. Most Christians don't marry any better than sinners do. You know, they marry for everything else but spirituality. They marry for everything else. You know, we're in love. Well, I'm going to tell you, love has nothing to be but cute or anything else. It don't have anything to do with it. God loved me and I wasn't cute. And so we do all this stuff. Most of what we do is because of the natural, and we don't understand. In America, we don't have. America's a very rebellious nation. We rebel against authority all the time. We're in rebellion, and we don't realize. Right now, America's in a lot of trouble because we're in a rebellion of our nation. Even in Christianity, Christians are in a lot of trouble. They're rebellion against authority all the time. You know, we turn around, people always talk about praying for authorities. We need to get down to the fact that we show respect for authorities. You can pray for them night and day and not change a darn thing.
Amen.
If you have no respect for that authority. You know, as I put in the bulletin, you know, this year about, this week about, you know, because it's tax week coming up. And what's the scripture say about, you know, paying taxes? Give taxes to whom taxes due, honor to whom honor's due. Mm-hmm. It says that these people, they're ordained of God. Why? God gave authority in the earth. People in this nation put somebody in charge. God honors it from the head down. And you rebel against that authority, you're in rebellion against God. The Bible says so.
Amen.
You see, I watched God really dealt with me about with Joe Biden being president, how the Christians railed and railed against him. Mm-hmm. God spoke to me about that. What the Christians are doing is terrible. You know, they say we're praying for our nation, and they do nothing but rebel against authority. We have it in the homes, a rebellion against authority, constant rebellion against authority. And we need to, these things need to stop. You know, today, we have the certain parts of scriptures that we like and we put out and they preach all the time. But there's a lot of things in scripture that Christians don't like, and so they don't ever preach it, talk about it, because you'll find out you'll need to repent. You know, I find out every once in a while I run into things I need to repent about. I just say, oh, I've been doing that one, huh? I can see that, yeah. That one spoke to me. God, you must have gave that for somebody else. I can see that. It must have been for that other guy. But see, you know, I want you to think about it. You know, if you study in the Bible, in the history of the Bible, you know, God told Israel, because in all the trouble that Israel was in and sinning against God, and God's trying to help them out, and they come along and the king of Babylon comes down, Nebuchadnezzar's going to take over, and God tells them, you submit to him and he'll let you live in the land. You submit to him. He didn't say whether you liked it or not. You submit to it. We know nothing about submission to authority. If we don't like what authority says, we just rebel against it and do it. Because I'm an American, I got free speech. Not by God, you don't.
Amen. Preach.
I don't care what they put in the Constitution. This is my Constitution.
Amen.
We're Christians. I'm not of this world. I'm of this book.
Amen.
I can't run around and say everything I want to say. I don't care what my flesh would like to say. Do you realize, I mean, right now, if we would get rid of all the news media and all that stuff, we would have a calming effect in our nation. If we got all this stuff and took everybody's phone and smashed it and threw it away,
Amen. We'd
have a huge calming effect in this nation, because it wouldn't be all this talking. Everybody thinks they have to respond to everything. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what, I think people online have said about me, they don't like my teaching and stuff like that. I never respond to it. Never. I don't let them think what they want and say what they want. I don't care. I'm going to keep doing what's right. I don't have to respond to them. And understand this. You know, this is one of the things is, you know, we need to deal with. You know, God said, you know, judgment is mine, saith the Lord, I'll repay. How are you going to get God to repay a people coming against you if your mouth's railing all the time about people and all this kind of stuff and speaking against your government? If he's going to judge them, he's going to have to do you.
Amen.
See, boy, I don't know if I want that. Well, this is good stuff, folks. I mean, we need to get onto this thing. Why is falling in line? Is understanding how God operates, because if you understand, the blessing of God is made for us to walk in. And, you know, we don't have to always sit around and take care of ourselves and look after ourselves. We're doing a lot for ourselves we don't even have to do if we learn to walk right and follow right. God will do a lot of things for you just because you walk right.
Amen. Preach.
That's right.
You know, we're called, why we pray for our leaders, so we can live a quiet and peaceful life in all God is. Not so I can speak against them all the time. See, if we can't shut our mouths up, you can't live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness. It's no way you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I just have times I have to just bite my lip. Because my flesh, you know, like, he wants to say something, you know. I've got a good scripture I can nail him with. I got a good scripture and I'll hammer him with it. Let me have that. I'll tell you. God loves you, you rotten thing, you. I know none of you ever felt like that. It's just this ugly me. I just tell my stuff, you know. See, guys. I just tell you how ugly I am. That is. And if you don't ever have your flesh rise up and want to do that, it's because you're dead. You probably, we're going to bury you soon, throw dirt on you, because your flesh will just want to rise up. It will.
It
does. You know, it is an amazing thing. Sometimes you think, you know, you're so holy, and all of a sudden something in your flesh wants to rise up on a thing, and it's like, well, I know, you know, my flesh, I learned this, it ain't real holy. You know, you have to just corner it and beat it every once in a while. Get back down. Get the chair and the gun out, you know. And the whip. Hey, they can get up on that stand. Get up there, you ugly thing. So that's part of what we do. But an interesting thing about God becoming man, God sending the Son in the world, and Jesus did not have the sin nature. And he couldn't have it, because if he had the sin nature, he would have been like every other man. And he didn't. So he was like Adam. See, Adam came into the world without the sin nature. He didn't have it. Man is the seed, the woman is the ground. And it's really interesting, because we need to understand that this is why God could conceive a child through a woman, and the man comes out and doesn't have the sin nature because of the seed. It's the seed. If it was a man, the seed can only be the fallen nature. That's all it can be. It can never be anything else. So God, in his great wisdom, did what he did. You know, it's one thing as I learned about authority, and you need to learn this in your life. It really helps you in your marriages and everything and all you do. Stay within your bounds of authority. I learned this. You say your faith is not going to work well if you usurp authority and that stuff. Learn this. You'll be blessed staying in your lines of the areas of your authority that you walk in. See, many people this is what Christians do all the time. They use their prayer life trying to usurp authority over other people and make them do what they want. We don't pray for people to make them do what. We pray for people. We want them blessed and helped and stuff. But not to, we don't force, God don't force man to get saved. He don't force nobody. He don't make anybody do nothing.
Amen.
But sometimes people do. Sometimes people's motives are wrong for prayer. Somebody annoys them. They want to get that person changed. Why? Because you annoy me. You got somebody in the family gives a hard time. They annoy me, so I pray for them. Why? Because they annoy me, you know. It's because I can't walk in peace and joy when they're around, because my flesh dominates me. And so I gotta pray. You're gonna have people gonna annoy you, and get over it. Some of that stuff don't ever change. There's always people who are gonna annoy you.
Amen.
That's just, and you have to learn to live and walk a life in that annoyance.
Amen.
You just have to learn to, it's there. You can't do anything about it.
Amen.
And you just have to learn that, you know. Like over the years, and I've done sometimes, people come to me as over the years, they're like Christian marriage problems and things like that. And I always tell, because usually a person comes to talk to you, they'll usually talk to you about the person that annoys them. But as soon as you talk to them about them, that's another story. You know, they'll come and say, you know, this partner of mine, and I say, well, you know, you really got a problem because you're the one that picked the person you don't like. So that says something about you, doesn't it? You know, if I don't like my wife, hey, I picked it. Get over it, you know?
Amen.
Get over it, Ed. You know, she wonders sometimes. She's asked God to forgive her for our marriage. But see, people don't think from their side. You know, if I married somebody and we're gonna, what did I listen to God? Was I really, what was I doing?
Mm-hmm.
So let me judge my side. And it's one thing, I found out this, when God gets me to judge my side, it usually changes my whole viewpoint. When I found out he don't view like I do, and he's not listening to what I'm saying about it. Say, oh well, I guess we'll have to do something else. And you know, I just learned a long time, I'm as annoying as she is. So we just, so we do well together. We do good together. That's right. We know how to annoy each other and still stay together and smile. Keep showing your toes. But we need to get the picture, because if Jesus operates in the earth, he operates as a man. He has emotions and feelings and everything just like any human being has. There's no difference. He didn't have anything special from the standpoint. It's just like with Adam. I remember, you know, I had a guy, he was a seminary graduate, and he had some really strange ideas about things, but he told me it was impossible for Jesus to sin. And I said, well, if it's impossible for him to sin, I said, then the Bible's a whole lie, because it says he was tempted, so he was never tempted if he couldn't sin. And understand this about temptation. Temptation deals with the flesh, always. The devil never tempts your spirit.
Amen.
He tempts your flesh. The only access he has to your spirit is to tempt your flesh. You're the one that opens the door and lets it in your heart. If you let something in your heart, that's you.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
Just like, how do you get saved? How do you get born again? It's you respond. The devil can't stop you from doing it. If you respond by the word from your heart, you decide that, you confess it. It's always from the outward. So where our battles are, like people talk about spiritual warfare. Really, spiritual warfare is this, is you walking along trying to live what's in your spirit, and your flesh is operating in another earth. Devil's tempting you through your flesh. This is spiritual warfare. It's what's going on between your flesh and your spirit.
Amen.
This is why you want to renew your mind. Mm-hmm. You know this. Your flesh is always going to be the one that you're going to deal with that wants to do certain things and doing stuff. And if you have your mind is renewed, it thinks like your flesh, you're going to have trouble dealing with your letting your spirit do what it wants to do.
Amen.
So if your mind's renewed and you're walking what's in your heart, then you those two can, you know, rise up and take the flesh and hold it in place. But if you do, and because you're not going to be able to do it, if you don't renew your mind, you're not going to be able, your flesh will be out of control. Any person whose flesh is out of control, it's a lack of a renewed mind. That's what it is. They haven't renewed their mind to the Word of God. It's number one, through your mind, number one is going to, let me say this, and this isn't a teaching, but God's going this way. You need to understand this about how devil accesses people. He accesses you through your thoughts. That's how he accesses Amen. Your life. A person who gets possessed first gets possessed in their thinking. Every time. Mm-hmm. Number one, they get possessed in a thought way. This is one thing interesting. We can look at our country. People sit and say, oh, how can these people think so crazy? Because they're possessed in their thinking. Demon powers operate through their, they have opened themselves where demon powers operate through their mind, and they're dominated by it. And people act like, well, we try to just keep telling you can talk till you're blue in the face.
Amen.
That doesn't change. That what they're dealing with is they have gone so far is to let thoughts and dominate that Satan does till they have become possessed in their minds. There are people, they don't have like a spirit. A Christian can get possessed in their mind. They're a born again Christian. And they can get possessed in their mind in a way of thinking. And get over in thought life where really they have a hard time ever hooking up with God. Their mind is possessed in a way of thinking, and I said they're a Christian. So your mind's about your control. It's not under God's control. It's yours.
Amen.
A sinner. You know, Kenneth Hagin, in one of his visions, God taught him about demons and evil spirits. And one of the things that the Lord showed him, I really thought was interesting, evil the sinner. He showed a sinner, what he did, he showed him a person, and a person, and he showed, like, he was watching like a thing, he's almost like on the screen, and he saw a person in a silhouette of a person, and this dot was on the outside and went to the inside, the person's mind. And he said, that person has now gotten possessed in their thoughts and a thing, and he said, Satan is dominating the way they think. They've opened it. And he said to him, he showed to him a sinner. A sinner doesn't have to yield to Satan in everything he does. A sinner can yield or not yield to certain ways of thinking. The devil just can't overrule. If the devil could just overrule everybody, he'd just overrule everybody. Well, he can't do that. You get people out here not saved. I've run into many people who are not saved think better than a lot of Christians do.
Preach.
So we need to understand that operating in this earth, there's much in the church world has given Satan much more power and authority than he has. They've given him too much. They've said too many things concerning him about stuff. But they're yielding to it. That's why you be very careful what you yield to in your thinking.
Amen.
See, there's many people that are religiously, you know, they're nice people, they're saved, but they sit in churches and they believe, you know, all the healing, all the power of God stopped, you know, and faith out here. How they get there stuck on that spot? They chose to walk and live it. They received that and said that's truth, and they've settled themselves in that. You know, you can turn around, maybe, you know, they're going to have to open their mind up to yield to understand that. God's not going to force anything on him. He's not going to hold him down and make him, you know, he's not going to be the great, you know, somebody, you know, and say, you know, Maharaji, and you know, I'm going to hold him, send out beams of thought to their mind, and they're going to do it for me. We thought this is where people do is, this is one of the things is, you praying for people, the best thing you can do is pray like the prayers of Ephesians. There's two prayers in Ephesians, is pray those for individuals. People's minds are messed up.
Amen.
You know, if God put prayers in the book, you know, in the New Testament, it'd be good we used them. You know, if they're anointed by God, we take the time to use those prayers for people, because people's minds are messed up, even with Christians. You know, I found out, you know, I learned to pray for myself. I learned to speak God. See, I want to see the truth. I want to understand what's true. And understanding what's true, this is what I know. I never believe I'm concerned with myself. You know, you have arrived. You need to learn.
Amen.
So you want to get yourself. Don't. If you're a person that thinks, well, you're pretty smart and you know, there's a good chance you don't even know near what you think you do.
Amen.
Because we don't arrive there. You're always growing, and you get yourself. Keep yourself teachable.
Amen.
You decide that whether you're teachable or not. You do. God don't. The devil don't. You know, the devil will get you to, he'll come over and make you think you're the best thing since, you know, sliced bread. And he'll do that to you to keep you overbound.
Amen.
And keep you where you can't go nowhere, and keep you haughty, and keep you—he'll do those things to you. That's what he wants to do, you know. You know, we're just so smart. We just got everything. I'm just amazed. You know, I look at all the things God's taught me over the years, but I've learned this: is I'm amazed how much I don't know. So there's just so much. I just can't imagine our God knowing everything. And it's like you sit down and think, well, man, you know. A being that knows everything. You know, there's nothing in the future that he don't know how it's going to turn out or anything like, nothing. I mean, it's a phenomenal thing. And I realize I'm not in that category.
Amen.
Excuse me. But walk in the light of that. This is one of the things, is Jesus was a man. Jesus as a man, he's dealing with the same things. He's dealing with the same things. He's in a world. Now, understand, Satan understands him being in the world. I'm going to guarantee you, he was putting under a lot more spiritual pressure probably than we are. There's one thing I found out about spiritual pressure. See, I was involved with, before I got saved, I was involved in sorcery and all that kind of stuff. And I knew how to get demons to manifest. We could get them, and I could get demons to manifest. They'd manifest in our house. You know, things the spirit ain't hard to do. The hard thing to do is Christians don't know nothing about it generally. It's the most amazing thing to me. I came in the kingdom and I thought, well, why would people think it's so hard to get God to manifest? My God, I can get demons to manifest. It ain't hard to do. You should I tell you what the problem is? You don't really believe it.
Amen.
This world around us tonight, there's spirits in operation.
Amen.
There's angels, there's demons and things.
Preach.
They are here and it's real. You ain't as cute as you think you are.
Preach.
And you're more vulnerable than you think you are.
Amen.
It's cause why?
Amen.
If you live like it ain't around, you're vulnerable. You are vulnerable.
Amen.
To them. You're vulnerable to their influence. You're more vulnerable than you realize.
Amen.
But see, I found out, when I got born again, and I came over in the kingdom of God, the first thing I started learning this stuff, I thought, my God, you know, because I knew things about how the spirit realm operates the same on demonic side as it does on God's side. The spirit realm, the principles and laws are the same. They're not different for, all beings operate under the same spiritual principles. All beings, spiritual beings do. Doesn't matter who they are. God established the spirit realm, not the devil or somebody else or something else. God did. So they all operate under, just like in this earth. Every human operates under the same principles under this earth and that stuff. You know, there's things that are set up concerning humans. We might make some different laws and different things about stuff. But we need to understand we fall under these principles as human beings operating in the earth. Well, in the spirit realm, everything... Well, I learned how you get spirits to matter, how you get stuff. Number one is you believe in, act like they're true. Talk to them like they're true. And talk, and they manifest. You can ask Wanda. I mean, we had spirits manifest in our house and that kind of stuff. And when I got saved, we had God manifest in our house.
Hallelujah.
He'd manifest. Ain't hard to do. What's hard to do is when people, you got to get it off the pages of the book. You got to get it off the pages of the book where you turn around. This isn't nice stories. This isn't nice things. Jesus Christ is alive.
Amen.
There's the Holy God lives inside of me.
Praise
God lives me, and I can't get God to manifest. Boy, that's sad. You know, it's like somebody living in your house. You don't even know they're there. You know, there's somebody living in the attic, and you don't even know that they're there. They're living there and that stuff, and they're living in the attic. They're living all around. I'm sorry, that's the way a lot of Christians live.
Amen.
There's a guy living in the attic, and they don't, you know. Oh, how do you communicate with him? Ooh, you know, think, no. It's God. It's my Creator.
Amen.
You know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, somebody said the Word of God, Jesus, God said what He wanted, Jesus spoke, and the Holy Spirit created it. The one, you know, we say Jesus the Creator, He didn't do it without the Holy Ghost. And He still don't do it without the Holy Ghost. And that one's living in me.
Amen.
He's living in you.
Amen.
Think about manifestation wise. That shouldn't be some hard thing to do. And so it's how we think. It's number one, is you start dealing with that. You need to know if you have that. We're not trying to get power. You have power. You got it. You're not trying to get power. You have power. You start dealing with that. You have authority over Satan. You have to. That's a place you're going to have to walk. If you look at Jesus and His operating here, He understood His position over Satan. You know, when He said Satan had nothing in him, and also He said Satan couldn't take his life. And He's exactly right. Jesus, without the sin nature, couldn't die. Jesus could have never died on the cross until He yielded His life to die. He could not have died. I don't care, they could have tried to do what they want, they couldn't have killed Him. Jesus would say, see, Satan had, he didn't die because they decided to nail Him on the cross. He died on that cross because He gave His life up.
Amen.
See, we deal with the thing, and everybody gets on the thing about Him being nailed. Oh, what they did, and they killed Him. They didn't kill Him. He died Himself. He gave His life. When He took on the sin nature on the cross, you need to understand this. Jesus, when He took our sin on Him, He became of the nature we are. And what happened? He died. Why? With our nature. He didn't die with His nature. He died with ours. God put on Him our sin, put it on Him, and when He did, He became what we were. And He died. And there's one thing, as you know, is we need to understand this, is when He did that, He was judged with the curse. The curse came on Him. The curse that was for us, that's what came on Him. He was a man. So when He died as a man. He didn't die for His sin. See, people don't understand. You know, like Jesus, He was down in Nazareth, and they didn't like it because, you know, He preached there, and they didn't like His message. So they took Him out to throw Him over the brow of the hill, it says in the Bible. And it said He just walked through them and walked away. They couldn't have killed Him for nothing. I don't care what they did. They couldn't have taken His life. It wasn't time. He had His life was in His hands. If you want to get control of yours, you better do some things. Now, I'm just saying this. See, there's things we don't understand to know on this side. Now, your body is death-doomed. His wasn't. His body was not death-doomed. Ours is. No matter how well you walk, this is why you need to understand authority and how it works to maintain yourself and concerning your body, because if you don't judge yourself concerning your body, it'll get judged. It'll get judged. So what do we want to do? You know, we're living in a world and there's all kind of bad stuff, and it wants to come and cling on you. One of the things it is, when we stand by faith, we want to be able to do something about it. We don't want to be under judgment ourselves. We don't want to be in that position of judgment ourselves. And so, now see, these things people don't like, but I love it because I understand, if you understand this authority, where it places you at.
Amen.
Everybody wants to be in control except when they get to be Christians, then they want God to take care of it all and I can just go off and run out of control.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
But they want to be in control because you put them at work. They want to run everything. They want to tell everybody everything. They want to do all the stuff. They want to, you know, this is people, you know, Americans. We want to tell the government what to do and the people there all the time what to do. And I don't get it. They come to be Christians and they don't want to do nothing. They don't, you know. It's like, no, there's things that I have a destiny with God, but I'm in this thing of destiny. God hasn't set for me. I can turn around within these parameters that God set for me in authority. What I'm going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
What am I going to do with this thing? You know, I can use these spiritual laws to bless my life, or I can use these spiritual laws and bring judgment on myself.
Amen.
So I want you to think about it. To me, that was a great freedom. When I found out that I wasn't a God robot, I was so glad, and I found out most Christians weren't. They wouldn't be a God robot. Mm-hmm. I'm just God robot. Whatever I'm doing is what He wants. No, it's like, you know, they talk about free will, and the church generally don't know what free will is about at all. I was always amazed. The first thing I did when I got a revelation on this stuff, I was just so amazed at the authority God put into my life. I thought, I'd have never trusted me with this. You know, to me, I always use the thing. It's like handing a baby a loaded gun. It's like, my word. Because why? I mean, it is. It's a powerful thing. It can put you over and bless you, or it could destroy you.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's a powerful thing. It's powerful. But you know, I don't mind responsibility. I don't remind it. I don't. And the more I got into the Word and I see God working for me, I thought, man, He set up a system where this will work for me. All I have to work is His system. We're all working a system. We all have our own system that we run. And we decide it. Nobody else decides it. You know? Sometimes we change our system to please other people, get ourselves in trouble, and do things and stuff. But it's within our grasp. And it's not a bad thing. It's a real blessing. And I learned this. If I follow God's blessing and what God wants and says to do, it becomes a greater blessing to other people.
Amen.
Now, they might not think so at the time, but anything this world needs is people walking with God.
Amen.
We don't need any more of people sitting around and trying to just be part of the crowd. You know, just be part of, you know. And a lot of that Christianity is like that. They're just part of the crowd. They're just, you know, they're going along. We're trying to keep peace. We're trying to keep... Man, you can't do that stuff. You can't, you know. You know, you go one day and things just work out and seem peaceful. The next day, somebody set an atomic bomb off. And it's just like, oh my God, how did this happen? So I was doing great yesterday. And now, you know, I fell 1,000 feet. And I just, it's like, what is going on? I was just praising God yesterday and the truck ran over me. What has happened with it? Well, you get up and praise God. That's just, you know, you have to do it. You have to praise God. God ain't changed. He's still good. And when I started off in this, that was a really hard thing to do. I've gotten much better at that over the years. I don't complain as much about when things happen and go wrong. You know, I just, hallelujah. Cause now, you know, I just know things are going to go wrong. And how you adjust your life to walk when your attitudes on things is what outcome do you want? I love to look at Jesus because of what Jesus did for outcome. He's on a mission to do something. Now he's on the mission God gave him. He's not on the mission of men or what men think or want.
Amen.
The children of Israel are looking for the Messiah. The Messiah is walking among them and they don't know it. Yet they have all these scriptures that they don't have a revelation of Him. It's not that they can't. They don't. They have their own ideas and things. And see, you know, it's like, you know, I don't know, when I was, you know, a kid, we were taught, you know, in church and stuff about, you know, God and things and stuff. And when I got born again and I started going to the Word and I was being taught, and I looked back and I thought, my God, they twisted things all up. I mean, I'm not saying to criticize them. They thought they were doing, you know, as best they could. Praise God they were saved. You know, they'd die and go to heaven. But I always thought about it. When he got to heaven, when he found out what he was really like, and you know, what you'd ever think is like, how could I have lived down there? I could have had so much, it could have been so different down there for me. Things could have been so different for me. But they didn't know. They were taught, and they were taught in ways. Well, you know, as I got saved, and I started looking at the Word, and I remember going to my parents. My parents would say things, and I'd say, well, where did the Bible say that? Well, I don't know, but it's there. Well, where is it? They never find this stuff. They listened to somebody preach, and they would say that, and they just followed after things, and they followed after. They really didn't understand things about authority and where they stood with God, you know. I know, like my parents, I mean, I could probably, you know, I'd probably curl their hair if they listened to some of my teaching today. I mean, my God, they would just, it'd flip them out. Because of what they said under, and they listened. listened to. I mean, it's what they believed. I found out is when I first got saved, and first time I had a vision, first time I got saved, because I asked God a question, and I asked him about, because things turning out, if God knows everything, why did he create man? And why we have all this going on out here? But we need to understand, God never, in any time in his creation, ever created robots. Never.
Amen.
Angels were never robots.
That's right.
Amen.
They were never. See, I was taught as a kid, you know, angels, they always have to listen to God and they can't do it. Well, I thought, well, Lucifer falls. See, I'm sitting, I found out the adults in the church were the dumbest people in the church. I mean, I'm sitting there as a kid thinking, well, Lucifer fell? And they said all these angels fell with him. Well, how could that be if they can't? Well, they surely could. God never does. And with humans, God created the human race, and the whole thing is God didn't create us as were these robots. He created us a choice. God wants people who want to be with him. He wants them by your own volition. You want him. You need to understand this works in the whole line of faith.
Amen.
Many people want certain things. They want healing from God. They want things, but really don't want him.
Amen.
They want what he has, but they're not sold out to him. I found the more I got sold out to him, faith raised to a new level. It raised
Amen.
To a place where I realized that healing's mine. I'm not trying to get him to give me a thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it is being with him. This is just being with him. Hallelujah. This is hooked up to him. He's just a blesser. That's what he does.
Amen.
He don't have anything other. Like we looked last week, you know. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God. There's no shadow of turning. God's just good. He don't have bad to give you. Why? Because you and the devil will shoot you in the foot. You don't have to get God to get a gun out and shoot you in the foot. There's already two people been doing that. The devil and you. You know, I'll show you some holes in my feet here. I shot... We do that. The church, and even most Christians, even spirit-filled Christians, they still have the idea that God's going to go after them about something. You got to lose that.
Amen.
God's my best friend. When I'm stupid, he still likes me and wants to help me.
Amen.
You got to get that in you. If bad came along, it's never his fault. Never. Never. Not ever. Not tiny, eensy beansy. It's never God's fault. He's never out to you. He's out to help me. Why on earth would Jesus go to the cross if he wanted to do something bad to me? Don't go to the cross. Something bad would have happened to me.
Amen.
So stupid, he said, get that out. God is on your side. He likes you. I know he likes. Look, he walked around with those 12 disciples, and sometimes I look at it, I think, my God, they were dumber than me. They're in real trouble. You're dumber than me. You're big trouble. And I said, this guy's walked around with him, and the stuff they stumbled over, the stuff that he kept telling them about him going to the cross, and they didn't get it at all. You know, he's just blowing the wind. Well, see, people get over and their ideas. See, he's the Messiah. He's going to come to take over. Well, he did. He took over what needed to be taken over first, and that's
Amen.
Satan's kingdom.
Amen.
See, the greatest thing you got from God, you have authority in this earth.
Amen.
The greatest gift you got of getting born again was the authority given to you. That's why Jesus told the disciples, go and preach the gospel. These signs shall follow them that believe. The first sign was cast out devils. You have authority over satanic powers. Laying hands on the sick and then recovering in the name of Jesus. The authority that is given us, we have all these things of authority. But the church doesn't walk in light of it. They don't walk in the light of this authority. They're waiting for God to move. I'm sorry, he already did.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He moved 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
What happens is we move. It's hooking up in this thing. Authority that we have. We want God to manifest. He manifests when you walk in the authority you have.
Amen.
We're wanting him to move, and then we're going to rise up. It don't work like that. You're going to be there next year waiting for him to move. Well, we're just waiting on God. Well, they'll be throwing dirt on you one day while you're waiting for God. That's what's going to happen. It ain't going to ever happen. People keep saying, oh, we want to move a God these last days. God's trying to move the church.
Come on.
That's what he's trying to do.
Yep.
Trying to move us.
Amen.
Amen.
He's already moved. See, we respond to what he's already done. You know, it's just like a person. If a person you're trying to help and they won't do anything, you'll get tired of helping them. At least you should, or you need a brain check for yourself. Something's wrong with you.
Come on.
Because if you keep doing it for somebody that don't ever do nothing, well, you got a problem. Because number one, you might think that's being nice to a person, but you don't know God.
Come on.
God's very merciful and kind, but he will quit. Mm-hmm. He's long-suffering, but he will stop.
Yep.
You know, he did make a whip two times and went into the temple mm-hmm. and whooped some people. Mm-hmm. He did get fed up with some things. Did he ever get after you?
Amen.
He won't kill you, but I'll tell you, sometimes you might wish you were dead. I'll tell you, God can really get you just with the Word.
Amen.
He really puts you in your place to correct you just with the Word. He can do that. I'm going to tell you, sometimes the Word can hurt more than somebody else can do something. Hallelujah. Put you in your place. But this Jesus came along and he came in the earth. He's a man. And I want you to think about it. To him, it's hard for me to grasp, you know, God in all his glory. And he comes down and he steps in the earth and becomes a human being to operate in this earth. When the Bible says he became poor so we could be rich. I mean, if you just take from the glory of heaven to come down in this earth. I mean, I don't care if you live like a king. It ain't nothing like heaven here. What he stepped out of to step in here, he was in the place of no turmoil, nothing like that going on with him there, that stuff, and to step into this earth where the mess is at. And he steps into the middle of the mess.
Thank you.
And he stepped in this, he must like us pretty much. It's like the Lord showed me in the first vision he showed me. I asked him about man. What about man? And this is what he told me in the vision. He said, man is my key to put sin away forever. See, it's through man sin is put away.
Mm-hmm.
He developed man in the earth. Man is the key, he said, to put sin away. And what does he do when he saves man? He hands man the key. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And the church says, no, we don't have that. That was for the apostles. Let's just go back to our religious stuff and we'll have all of our ceremonial stuff and things that we do and take communion and all that. And we'll fake like we're something.
Come on.
That's what people are doing. He said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth.
Amen.
No, God's in control. Didn't you know that? See, let's get past the number one. To me, that was freedom because I walked around all the life, all this stuff they're telling us about God, and I walked all my life as a kid, and nothing worked. You know, whatever happened, however it turned out, good or bad, well, God had a purpose. Well, it's a funny thing. All these people believe that and even talk that stuff today. Nobody ever knows what the purpose was for.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was the purpose? Number one, if you don't know why something's done, you can't gain knowledge.
Amen.
If God hides from you things, you can't gain knowledge. Therefore, you cannot have faith.
Amen.
People who talk about God, he's mysterious. No, they're mysterious. God's not mysterious. He put the know-it-all, the Holy Ghost, in us to teach us. Is he trying to be a mystery? Why would you put the know-it-all in people and you don't want them to know it all? I mean, that's absolutely stupid.
Amen.
But see, religion has so embraced itself, and we have embraced it in our minds and in our thinkings, and it leads us off to not think in the freedom of how far God wants to take us. You know, John G. Lake, I was thinking about this today. John G. Lake got some doctors. He was over in South Africa, the bubonic plague they had. It was just killing people rampantly. He was out among it. He went to a person who was dead and they took the froth off the person's mouth that died. Put it in his hand. That had all the virus and stuff from the bubonic plague. He put his hand in. He told the doctors to examine that. They put his hand under a microscope and they watched the virus die in his hand.
Praise God.
What he believed. See, he believed that couldn't hurt. See, he believed that he was whole and held sound.
Amen.
He believed disease didn't have authority over him. You see, we know nothing about that today in Christianity. Our Christianity teaches down here such a low level. I mean, it's just such a low level that we're teaching today. See, as people walk before and knew things. I mean, John G. Lake, I know, and he was about 60 years old. He started to go blind. They said he went out of his office one day and went out for, he said, "I'll be on out for a walk. I'll be coming back." And he went out for a walk. When he come back, he was seeing. So, you know, we use that to pray at least 15 years to get that to happen. How did he do it that quick? How did he do something? Well, it's the whole thing. One thing is I learned about John G. Lake. He understands things about spiritual authority we do not understand. We don't walk in the light of today. We don't walk in the light of. And we need to understand that about ourselves. It's not criticism. It's like learning. We're going to either, you have a choice, we're going to learn this stuff, or we're going to stay in the same condition or follow in the same line we're already doing in. We can't expect more not knowing more about how it operates.
Amen.
And then operate in it. And so this is why we're talking about. When I heard things come in the kingdom, listening to Kenneth Hagin teach, and I thought, he talked about how God used him and the things that happened, and I just decided, this young Christian, I thought, I want to know God that way. That's what I want to know. This is what the Lord told me when I started the church. He said, I want you to teach people so they can know me like you do. And I said, boy, we're in trouble. And I thought, this is really weird. Till I started the church and I realized, in the little I knew a lot more than most Christians knew. And I thought, boy, we're in trouble. But here's one thing. Jesus said, you can't go any further than your teacher. Mm-hmm. We have too many baby pastors.
Preach.
Too many baby pastors. They can't take people nowhere in development. We can't take people anywhere. And we have congregations, and Christians are satisfied with being babies.
Come on.
They're satisfied with it. Why? Because if things go wrong, I just go to the government. Government will take care of me. Things, I just go to something. I can do something. You know, if I don't work out, I get the people in church take care of me.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. People don't take responsibility for their lives. They don't take responsibility for themselves and say, hey, hold it. You know, if anything, and I pray for, is leaders in the body of Christ.
Amen.
God, raise up leaders. Let people go in somewhere and take somebody someplace.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, I'm going to tell you what. No man can be a leader over me from the standpoint of in the body of Christ. He's going to have to know something more than I know, or hey, what I need him for a leader for.
Amen.
I want somebody to take me somewhere.
That's right.
Come on.
I want somebody that has a revelations that I don't have. I want somebody to give me something I don't know about, or even the stuff that I know, he can take me further. I want to know. I just we're living in this world and things are just messed up. I've watched the United States from the time when I came in the kingdom, the move of God, until today. America is a very sick country, and the church is a very sick church to what it was back in the 80s when I came in the kingdom. And then we get on TV and these guys talk like, oh, there's this great spirituality. What place are you in? They live in this fantasy, and they got all these little fantasy people that follow them.
Come on.
All these fantasy people throw them their money and go to everything like that. Mm-hmm. They're all talking about how great. Well, where is he great at? If there's anything great happening, it ain't happening with them. All it is talk. No, we want something. I want
Amen.
Something.
Amen.
See, you want a move of God in your life.
Amen.
We don't want to bring God into the four corners of the church. We want to get him outside the church, because that's where the miracles happen. That's where the signs and wonders go. It's outside, not inside.
Amen.
Study the Bible. If you go into the Old Testament, the prophets, most of the time, all the miracles and stuff happen one-on-one with people.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They weren't down at the temple. Look at Jesus' ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Where were the miracles at?
He wasn't
hanging out down the temple in Jerusalem. Why? That's all the junk religion was. Mm-hmm. The only thing you could do down there is run them out of town trying to get something done.
Come on.
Yeah.
The church is like that today. You almost got to run them out of town to get something going.
Preach. Preach.
You make the whip, and you're an ugly person. You're not walking in love. No, you need whooped.
Amen.
You know? We need to kick over the money changer tables. Amen. We need to kick up all this buying and selling in churches. Because this is what we're doing. Buying and selling and doing stuff and things. And we want the power of God. I want the power of God more than I want money. Money can't get those things. Money, I don't care how much, it can't get those things. It can't get that stuff. And we should want it. We should have a great desire for these things. Jesus came and he operated as a man. I mean, he's operating in the earth, and like we look at his ministry, understand we have a very narrow scope of him that is given to us by scripture. And it's only dealing with his ministry. We don't see the majority of his life. We don't even see it. But you know, I can imagine him walking. You know, he had to learn to walk in this earth before his ministry started. His ministry, he was 30 years old before his ministry started. And so we have, a very shadow of anything. In fact, the most of it, there's nothing we don't even know is going on. He's out here having to walk around in this earth. He's having to live right. He's having to do things without sin. He has to grow. The Bible teaches it. When he says that he grew in wisdom. And not, well, in other words, if he grew in wisdom, he wasn't surely operating as God. Because God don't need wisdom. He is wisdom. That's what he is. And so he had to grow in that stuff. And so he's out around here. He learned to walk. And as we need to understand is how important it is for us is learning God has a kingdom and a way of thinking is to picking that up, dealing with our flesh in this world.
Amen.
This is a really problem we have with is dealing with the areas of flesh, is keeping other so we can let the glory that's in us manifest out of us.
Amen. Preach.
That's why Jesus said to the disciples, it seems strange to them, in Mark 11:23 was not written for the church. It was written for humanity. Because it's going on all the time. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast to sea, and doubt not in your heart, but believe those things that you say will come to pass, you'll have what you say. They weren't born again when he said that. Why? Good or bad, that's what's happening in the earth. See, we know this because we tell you we're living in an information age. No, we're not. We're living in a demonic age where everybody's passing on information that ain't any good and saying things and talking stuff and then turn around and pray and asking God to help after we've said 490 things that are terrible we should never open our mouth and ever say.
Amen.
Come on.
Wow.
Now, I know I'm the only guy that ever did that. You people are so sweet, I just can't believe. But the wonderful thing about it, I can judge myself and God will forgive me for being so stupid.
Amen.
And forgive me for my, he'll give me a chance to walk in and do something right. But if we keep refusing to judge ourselves because my feelings get hurt, I don't care about your feelings. I'm really not interested in it. Get over yourself.
Preach.
My feelings are the biggest liar in my life.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
My feelings keep trying to pet and pat me when I should be slapping me.
Amen. Amen.
You know? My feelings don't produce miracles.
Come on.
They don't produce it. But my spirit can.
Amen.
God can use me and my spirit if I'll start speaking out of what's in me. Rather than speaking out of my head or what nonsense about my feelings are about things. We're living in a world of people messed up. Keep saying about how messed up they are. Changes nothing.
Amen.
It doesn't change a thing. It changes nothing. To keep complaining about it changes nothing. That doesn't change anything. There's been no revival been brought in good times. Never has happened in the history of the earth. Think about this. The Bible says God sent Jesus in due time. He sent Jesus in one of their lousiest times. They're under the rule of the Romans, it is a mess in Jerusalem. In Judea, 90% of the people are poor. 90%.
Amen. That's right.
Between the Romans and a few of the Jews that are making life hard on everybody down there. But life's bad. Life ain't good. Things are bad in the earth. Wars, stuff going on like crazy. All kind of stuff happening and going on. The Bible says God sent Jesus in due time. Well, didn't send him on the time of the Christian. Christians always look, God to move in a good time. No, God moves in bad times.
Amen.
You want to move of God, just let things get ugly enough. People will get desperate enough to call for a move of God. Because when they're good, people don't.
Preach.
Right.
Amen. See, what we want and say, it's a bad time. It's a good time to have a move of God. This is a good time to have a move of God.
Amen.
Because, see, we need a move of God, something outside of men. Mm-hmm. That's what we need. We've heard enough preaching from all kind of people saying so-called wise stuff. Mm-hmm. We need glory revealed.
Amen.
It's one thing. Jesus shook up the nation by what he did. He came along. People, you know, somebody, you know, it's like they always use the term of the dinner bell. The healing's the dinner bell. It's one of the things. See, God's got to get people's attention. And we just want to say this to you. Just a lot of talk for the world is not going to get their attention. In the church, we shouldn't have to have miracles to get people's attention. They say they're children of God. It's time they start acting like it. Now, in the church, and we're not something Christian. It's number one, in the church, God's not going to give you signs in the church. You don't need a sign to know God's real.
Come on.
Amen.
If you need a sign for that, you're in bad shape.
Amen.
You're not as spiritual as you think you are. I don't need signs. I don't need a sign.
Amen.
There's a sign that lives in me.
Amen.
There's one in me. See, I got saved one day, but now I know I'm saved. I'm not trying to read the book every day to make sure I'm saved.
Amen.
I know. See, you get in the inside, you start living in this knowing, and that's what you want to do. We want to come to that. We're living on earth. We're not trying to get God to convince us. Like people are trying to get God, well, if we have some miracles, then we're going to believe God will move. I'm going to tell you about God. I'm going to tell you this straight up. God is not going to move for the church. Because church sits around, well, we just need a move of God. God has already been more than willing to move.
Amen.
The people in the church world have not been willing to want God to move.
Preach.
It's mostly men talk. Just, yeah, God, I want you to move as long as you don't disturb me in the condition that I'm in.
Come on. Preach.
Please don't make me uncomfortable. I don't want anybody to speak against me. I don't want anybody, you know, I don't want no persecution. The Bible says this, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to suffer persecution.
Amen.
Kenneth Hagin said this, and I agree with him. He said, if you don't suffer persecution because of your beliefs, he said, it's because, he said, you better check you're even saved.
Come on.
See, people say that I'm saved. We hate persecution. I'm sorry, living godly, you're gonna do it. It's gonna happen.
Amen.
You can't get away from it. People will criticize you on it. Kenneth Hagin said this, I remember as a young Christian, he said, if I get over and find everybody's liking me, he said, I know I'm backslid. Because I found this, you preach the truth, you talk the truth around people, I'll tell you, it's so easy today to get people upset at you. I can get Christians upset at me just like that.
Amen. Amen.
They're the easiest bunch. I'm serious. Christians are the easiest group. You want to get them upset? Get Christians. You get Christians upset just like that. Just say something from the Bible and they don't agree with it, and I'll tell you what.
Come on.
The love comes out.
Amen. Amen.
And no matter if you have scripture for it, I'm sorry, we don't preach that. We don't believe that.
Come on.
Oh yeah, but we believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe the Bible is the Word of God, but I don't know everything about this thing yet. I've been working. I figure probably about 45,000 years into the, you know, the new heaven and new earth. I'll be about a quarter of this thing. We'll get it. We'll just. But understand it comes by revelation. Revelation comes. I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I'm preaching this. I just pray in tongues and God does stuff. I don't know. Anyhow, but revelation comes to us really from the standpoint of where we are. You know, it's hard for God. Like I found out already, and I said, we have certain ways of thinking, and I found over time, God's trying to reveal certain things to me. He can't because of the way I'm thinking. Because what happens, we reject it. We don't realize certain thoughts or ideas come to us, but we just sort of set it aside because, this is what it is here. And many times we don't pay attention to revelation. You know, I found like with reading the Bible, you're reading things over and over and over again, and I would sit down and look, and after years of knowing certain things, but I look and I think, well, you know, the Bible says this or that. I've seen many things. How come you never saw that? Well, sometimes you're not in a place to see things. See, the Holy Spirit's a revealer. And also, there's things that sometimes people want to know from God. And it's like, you know, there's some people want to know algebra and they can't get, you know, basic math. You're going to have to learn the basic math if you want to do algebra. You know? Well, it's the same thing. You're going to have to grow into things. There's things that I wanted to know many years back, but I found out how to grow into. This is where this thing they call faith and patience, that ugly thing, patience, you know, ugly thing, faith and patience. You might have to go to school for a while. I'm sorry, I'm grown up. We don't go to school no more. You know, we don't do that. No, I ain't never got out of school.
Come on.
I've never left it.
That's right.
One thing is that when I went to Rhema Bible Training Center, I had zero problem there because I'd already been in school many years before I got there. I'd been in the school of the Word, all the. When I went to Bible school, it wasn't nothing. People was coming school now we got to get dealing through all this stuff. I said, my God, I've been doing this. This is a piece of cake for me. I've been doing this. I've been studying the whole time.
Amen.
I've been studying. And when I got out, they said, boy, I'm glad school's over. We can get out of school. And you know what? Then they're all the dumb people in ministry we have to put up with. Because y'all quit learning.
Come on.
I'm sorry. When I got out, I've just been learning and learning and learning.
Amen.
I have books and books and books full of notes. I got on my computers. Stuff I haven't even transcribed yet. I mean, it's just stuff and piles of things. I'm serious. I could teach from now to probably halfway into the millennium of notes I got. And so what happens, I pray and go, and God has me stand up and talk about something different than I had notes on. But see, you learn all that. It's good to learn all that. Because there's a lot of stuff he couldn't talk through me had I not taken the time.
Amen.
There's stuff I would never yield to say. Because I think, well, that don't make sense. That don't. So you need to understand that. You can't speak through for God. If he can't, you're going to have to general knowledge about things and that stuff. You're going to have to. You know, there's sometimes when I preach, though, I'm serious. I go home and listen to what I preach because I think there's things I'll say. And I thought, you know, I never knew that before. I never saw it like that before. And I go over and go back and listen to it again. And I go back to the Word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does say. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. See, what you talk, do you ever learn from it? Mm-hmm. If you don't, it's probably always been you.
Come on.
I learned a lot from saying things. I've said things already around people and that stuff, and I made remarks. People said something, and I made remarks already, and I thought, I said things to them I never knew in my life at all. I never knew and said, came up out of my spirit. I said it. And see, I like that. Because before, I always told everybody what I knew. Boy, that was trouble usually. It's nice to know a little bit something different. This went a whole way different tonight. But I think we learned something, anyhow.
Amen.
But I want, you know, let's get ourselves over. You know, God became a man and he had to learn. And as we go through this, we're going to pick up more. The Holy Spirit leads in this stuff. Hallelujah. And we're humans. As God moved through Jesus Christ, God will move through us.
Amen.
As humans. We're humans here. Hallelujah. You and I had the sin nature, but you don't anymore.
Amen.
You don't have it anymore. There's a thought that, you know, many people, most Christians, are just washed up sinners. That's all they are. That's all they believe they are. They just got cleaned up. That's what they believe they are. I'm sorry, I didn't get cleaned up. God didn't run me through the, you know, heavenly car wash. He took me and I received Christ and he took the old Ed and killed him and made me a new person.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
He didn't go down and take me to Erlscheid for a paint job and, you know, turn around and do, you know, took some little putty and put it in the bad spots and turn around, we'll spray over it. It'll break out later, but... He made me a new person.
Amen.
See, we need to get over into this thinking and that stuff. The church world has preached a lot of doctrine and it's filtered into everything. And we need to understand this. And you need to, number one, if you want to go on, you're going to have to get those things out of you. You've got to find out things about what you don't, you have mixtures of things in your belief and you don't realize. See, I believe this, but really when it comes down to doing something, we have these certain things rise up in us. See, I found within myself, I'd have that, certain things and ways. And I had to stop and say, hey, hold it. That's not, you know, you have to get rid of those things. You have to throw them out.
Amen.
And I found out the best way to do this, number one, you have to stop with your own mouth and say, I'm going to refuse to believe that anymore.
Amen.
We don't stop. No, I made a mistake. Oh, that's a good way to keep doing it now. Because I don't want to make myself feel uncomfortable that I missed it. I find it's a good thing to change. You just put the brakes on and say, you know, I missed that. That's not right. Mm-hmm. I got to get that thinking out of me.
Amen.
That's wrong. See, and come to that point. Deal with yourself. No, that's wrong thinking. The Bible says this. That's wrong thinking. Because too much we have of people that are limited because they've been taught to be limited. And it was never God's plan through Christ Jesus. If you look and see what God planned. I mean, just think what the unsaved disciples, what God was willing to do through them. What about on the other side? I mean, you know, can you imagine that you would live a life like they did? That they would turn around. This life for them was so glorious, they were willing to die and go through all kind of junk for it. It was just a wonderful thing for them to do. See, it's one thing is if you understand the glory of it. To me, when I think about persecution, people say, well, you know, if you preach the gospel, you might get thrown in jail. Oh, good, put me in jail. It ain't going to quit preaching.
Amen.
I'm sorry.
Praise God.
I'll probably get a bigger mouth.
Amen.
I mean, it's hard to believe, but... But I'm sorry. Well, what are they going to do? Kill me and send me to heaven?
Amen.
I'm just going to tell you this. I am not afraid to die for this gospel.
Come on, preach. Preach.
I'm not afraid to die for this gospel.
Amen.
I made that commitment the night I got born again.
Amen.
I'm not afraid to die for this gospel.
Amen.
Most Christians are afraid to even get talked bad about.
Come on.
The gospel.
Preach.
I'll tell you what. I gave my life. I don't have nothing else than this.
Amen.
I don't have anything to turn back to. This has become the best thing that I got. I don't.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is my great treasure. I just don't. I don't have anything else. I don't have anything else in life that's worth dying for. I don't have anything else that's, you know. It's all kind of things people will die for. But I'm going to tell you what. This gospel is the most wonderful thing. And I look at these disciples. All that they went through. And none of them whined and carried on. That's what I want to be.
Amen.
I want to be the guy that don't whine and carry on and complain about it. Say, my words, you know. So let's get ourselves set over that. And think about it. Because if you hook up and get your believing right, God empowers you.
Amen.
To walk in that. See, everybody, give me the power to walk in it. Well, you ain't going nowhere. You don't need no power to walk when you ain't been moving your feet.
Preach.
You need power when you're doing something. God, give me power to get up out of bed in the morning. Get out of bed. You might get some power. But laying there, you don't need no power to lay there.
Amen.
And see, this is what we have. We keep asking God to help us. And we're not walking in faith and saying, God's going to help me today. I'm getting up and going. Looks like everything's going wrong. But I don't care. I'm walking. I'm following God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's going to get me out of this thing. He's going to do something good. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to get blessed today. Boy, it looks like there's no blessing at all. You know, but God's going to bless me today.
Amen.
And you start walking like it's real. And after a while, when trouble comes, you'll end up being a person with a smile on your face.
Amen.
Everybody wants to be smiling and happy because everything's wonderful and good. I'm sorry. You need to leave the earth. Because it ain't here. Everything's not going to be wonderful for you. Everything's not going to be good for you. But you can still have a smile.
Amen.
You can have greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world.
Hallelujah.
Where it becomes a reality to you, and it is. It's so real to you that somebody's in you that's great, that what's happening on the outside don't matter. That you don't live by what you see and what you feel. You're living by faith of what's on the inside. See, I got a vision on the inside. The outside's ugly. I don't want to look there much.
Amen.
Because the outside's ugly.
Amen.
But on the inside, there's life.
Praise
oh my
Lord.
God, there's life on the inside. On the inside, it's good. On the inside, my inner man is not nervous at all.
Amen.
He ain't worried about a thing.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost ain't sitting there, oh, you better watch it. Tomorrow might be a bad day. Now the Holy Ghost in there said, the devil shows up, nail him.
Amen.
Use the name of Jesus and knock him out.
Amen.
But see, on the outside, oh boy, if so-and-so does this, or they, oh, tomorrow, what's going to happen with it? I see, get over into that. Say, no, the guy's on the inside, say, why don't you let me talk one time? let me say a few things.
Amen.
And the Holy Ghost, yeah, come on, get out there and say, hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I just want to say thank you tonight. Thank you for your great power and glory that's in us. Lord, your love and mercy and kindness to us is phenomenal. I just can't believe you put up with us this long. You're just so merciful and good. You know, Lord, I want to have great patience, but I want to tell you what, I surely wouldn't have as patience as you've had if you've had toward us. And I just want to thank you, Lord God, because in your patience, you've developed mine. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And I want to thank you, Lord God, giving us the ability to stand and to stand and to stand. Hallelujah. Lord God, not putting up with things, but walking in the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. We're not putting up with stuff. Hallelujah. We're walking in glory. Amen. And I just want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for the greater one is really in us. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, tonight. Hallelujah. Father, that you've made the Christian the most phenomenal thing, the most phenomenal beings on this earth that are incredible. You've put your glory and power in them. And Lord God, I want to thank you for giving us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. That the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, that we not know where there's a hope of your calling and what the riches of glory of your inheritance in the saints. And the exceeding greatness of your power toward us. Hallelujah. Who believe according to the working of your mighty power that you brought abound in Jesus Christ when you raised him from the dead, seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named. Hallelujah. Not only in this age, but then also in the ages to come. Hallelujah. And I just thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Lord God, we need to see and understand and walk in that revelation. And I thank you to lighten it up to us. Hallelujah. To see the glory that you have put in us through Christ Jesus, our wonderful Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.